Welcome to today's session. This is Dr. Ruth. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. We are in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, continuing with my verse-by-verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me today. If you are new to the podcast, welcome. And take some time to listen to the previous sessions and to my other teachings right here in Podbean. And friend, I want to encourage you to listen to the entire session today. There is a lot we are going to learn. And as always, please share this with friends and family so many others can be reached and be blessed in the name of Jesus. So we are still in Luke chapter 9. We're going to pick it up here today in verse 18. So what is the gist of these upcoming verses? The Lord Jesus would confront his disciples so they can take a deeper look into their hearts and answer him who they think he is. And this is so relevant to us today. Each of us must meditate on this question, who really is Jesus to us, okay? So let us move on here. Luke 9, verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowd say I am? Powerful question. Friend, the Lord Jesus is asking you the same question today. Today we are living in what I believe is end times. There are so many false prophets and false teachers and pastors out there. There are many who claim that the Lord Jesus is not who he is, as he has revealed himself to us in the scriptures. Especially we have so-called Christian cults who don't believe that Jesus Christ is God 100% and man 100%. So this is something that you have to believe in your own heart in who Jesus Christ says he is. God 100% in the flesh and man 100% with flesh and bones. So who do you say Jesus Christ is? Is he your God? Mm-hmm. Or is he just a teacher or a prophet? So you have to have a firm answer in your own heart, because each of us will stand alone before God. So this is the most important question you can ask in your entire life. Who really is Jesus Christ to you? Which is why, you know, I really encourage people to get my book, Who is the Real Jesus? And we will tell you more about that in this podcast, because that book will give you a much deeper revelation of who Jesus Christ say he is in accordance with his ministry. So the Lord Jesus had asked this question to his disciples. Let's find out the response. We are now in verse 19. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. That was their response. Essentially, they were just saying the popular response from the crowd. They were just saying what others were saying. But next, I really like what the Lord would do. He would personalize it. Oh my goodness. Because it's not what others say about Jesus Christ. It's what you say and what you believe in your heart. So verse 20, but what about you? This is the Lord Jesus saying. He asked, who do you say I am? This is awesome. So it's not what others say about Jesus Christ that matters. It's not even what your father, your mother, your pastor, the crowd is saying. They may be right. They may be wrong. Each of us, we have a personalized relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So who do you personally say Jesus Christ is? That is what God is concerned about primarily, and then secondarily, as far as what others say about Jesus Christ. So it is a personal, firm conviction of who you believe Jesus Christ is. So who do you say Jesus Christ is? I'm asking you the same question he asked his disciples during his earthly ministry. Have you settled that question in your heart? If not, I hope you can settle that today, right now, that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, 100% God, 100% man. He is the Messiah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is only one Messiah, Jesus Christ. There is only one way we can have a relationship with God the Father, and it is through Jesus Christ. So have you come to that firm conviction? I hope you have. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Ruth here. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to share with you our ministry offer that is available to you as a donation to this ministry throughout my teachings out of the Gospels. So, I have two resources that I know will bless you tremendously, because these two books have blessed hundreds of people. So, the two books all have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So, the first one is titled, Who is the Real Jesus? And the second one is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? So, for a ministry donation of $50 or more, this includes shipping and handling. If you live here in the USA, we will mail these two books to you today. Okay, it will provide added clarity, added teaching about the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus, the work of Christ. These are phenomenal resources that would add into the teaching here I'm doing in the Gospels and help you to really have a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. So again, this comes to us as a donation, and we thank you in advance for considering that. Again, the books are Who is the Real Jesus? And the other one is Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? For a ministry donation of $50 or more if you live in the USA. But if you cannot afford both books and you just want one, it's okay too. We thank you for your donation. So, Who is the Real Jesus? For a donation of $25 or more, including shipping and handling. And then the other book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus, would be $35, including shipping and handling. We will mail these books to you today. The advantage of getting both books is that you would save $10, okay? So again, this ministry offer is only available for those who live within the USA, because we cannot ship overseas. But if you live overseas and you're listening to me, you can get these books from Amazon. So here is how you can donate through us directly to get this book as a ministry offer. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And then if you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here's the telephone number for Zelle. 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And then we also accept donations through Cash App. And the name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Or if you just want to bless us with a one-time donation to help us produce more teachings like this and pay for studio time, we thank you abundantly from the bottom of our hearts. And God says thank you. And God is so faithful that he will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So I want to thank you in advance for purchasing this additional ministry resources to help you to gain a better revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. Here is the teaching. So, let's move on here. The Lord Jesus had asked them this question. Peter answered, God's Messiah. So Peter, the Apostle Peter, got it right. He was the only one among those disciples who had this revelation that Jesus Christ was indeed the Christ, the Messiah. So let's proceed now. We are now in verse 21. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. Why is this? I discussed this in the previous session. It is all part of that secret motive whereby the Lord Jesus' time, or God ordained time for the Lord Jesus to reveal his full identity to the crowd had not come. Jesus Christ still had to teach a lot about the kingdom of God, and as well as to perform the various tasks, i.e. the miracles, etc., that had been prophesied that the Messiah would do. So the Lord Jesus is telling his disciples not to go around telling people that he is a Christ. And also the disciples themselves didn't quite get a fuller revelation or fuller understanding of the mission of Jesus Christ, because they were still under this Old Testament notion. There was this erroneous view going about among the Jews that the Messiah would be a militant Messiah that would come and overtake the Roman emperor and set up his physical kingdom. So there was a lot of confusion, and these first century disciples didn't quite understand the ministry of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ still needed time to reveal more of himself to these disciples and then to fulfill the task of the Messiah before it could be made open to the public that he was indeed the Messiah. So those were some of the reasons why the Lord Jesus warned them not to tell others yet. Again, because the God-ordained time had not come. And number two, the disciples did not get a full revelation of the mission or ministry of Jesus Christ. They had to first understand it. They had to first gain a deeper understanding before they can share that with others. Okay, we move on here. We are now in verse 22. And he said, this is the Lord Jesus continuing now. He said to them, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. So this is interesting, because when Peter had this revelation that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and then the Lord Jesus warned the disciples not to tell this to others yet, he slowly but surely started to reveal what would happen to him. So we see here how he is already telling them that he would be crucified, he would die and be raised from the dead. But boy, these disciples still did not get it. So obviously the Lord Jesus is coming closer to the end of his earthly ministry, and he is slowly but surely revealing things to the disciples. So we are learning this here out of the Gospel of Luke, that this is the first time he started to reveal this to his disciples, knowing that they wouldn't get it, but again, he would reveal more. We are in verse 23. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. This is packed with rich information. Let's break this down a little bit. The Lord Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple. Again, who is a disciple? I discussed this earlier in the previous session here. A disciple is an ongoing life learner. You are learning. In this case, we are become disciples or followers of Jesus Christ. So we engage in this lifelong learning, gaining deeper revelation, understanding about the person Jesus Christ and his ministry and his work in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus is saying, whoever wants to follow me and be my disciple, which all of us today, once you confess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you become a disciple of Jesus Christ because you start to follow him, okay, as he leads you. So whoever wants to do that, we must take up our cross daily. What is our cross? Our problems, our burdens, we must take that up daily and surrender that to Jesus Christ and then follow him. You see, essentially, we have to die to our self. We have to die to our old or previous ways of doing things. We have to die to carnality. We have to die to the worldly system and follow the way of Jesus Christ. That is really what the Lord Jesus is saying, that if you want to truthfully be his disciple and follow him, you have to let go of yourself. Mm-hmm. And allow him, Jesus Christ, to lead you through the Holy Spirit. And we are taught this, Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, teaches this so clearly. In fact, let me just read this to you. Galatians 2:20, it teaches, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the Apostle Paul speaking. This can be and should be true for all of us. The life we live right now as a follower of Jesus Christ is not our life. We live for Christ. We die to our old ways. We die to our ways of doing things. And we choose the ways of Christ because it is the best way. Surely, if you are saying that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, what is a Lord? It means somebody that you follow, you submit to, you adhere to whatever he tells you because it's best for you, because he knows you in and out. He knows the beginning till the end. So we have to choose the ways of God, which his ways have been revealed in the Holy Scriptures, and die to the self if we want to truly live this life in a blessed way, the way God wants us to live. We should not try to lean on our own understanding because we have finite, limited view of things. No wonder Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 teaches that we should not lean on our own understanding. We should always seek God's way, and God's ways are available through his promises here. So if you want to be a true disciple or follower of Jesus Christ, you must carry your cross, i.e. your burden, your struggles, you cast them upon the Lord, and you choose his ways, you submit to his teachings. That is exactly what the Lord is saying. And then let's see how he continues this. We are now in verse 24. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Isn't this awesome? So if you want to save your life, meaning that if you want to hang on to your old ways of doing things, if you want to hang on to the worldly way of doing things, you're going to lose your life. Essentially, it leads to death, which is essentially separation from God. Even though you're a Christian, if you have genuinely confessed faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are not going to go to hell. None of that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living the blessed supernatural life in the here and now as a Christian. If you choose to hang on to your old ways, or if you go by your flesh, it leads to death. What is death? Worry, anxiety, quenching the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and opening the door for Satan to get into your life to kill, steal, and destroy. Essentially, you lose your life. But that's not God's will. God's will is that you overcome. You choose his ways, he leads and guides you, okay? But that's essentially what the second part of that verse is saying, that whoever loses their life for me will save it. So if you die to your ways of doing things, if you die to the carnal methods, if you choose God's way, you will have life, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He will give you supernatural strength and wisdom and ability to engage in daily struggles and overcome. And essentially, having the Holy Spirit walk in and through you and living a blessed, fruitful, meaningful life. Is this making sense? So friend, whose ways are you choosing today? If you say you are a Christian, is Jesus Christ really your Lord? Mm-hmm. Do you submit to him? Do you obey the teachings of Jesus Christ? Or do you want to do it your way? If you want to do it your way, like the Lord Jesus is saying here, it leads to death. You lose your life. If you do it God's way, boy, it's blessings, it's peace, it's joy, it's hope. Essentially, it is life, because Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, will do it through you. Okay, you get that right. So please choose life. Choose the ways of Jesus Christ, because it is the best way for you, regardless of the circumstances. God is infinite. He knows all things. He knows your problems right now. He knows your struggles right now. He knows how to take you from point A to B. So whatever you're dealing with, trust God, cast that thing to Him, surrender to Him, and just be at peace and let God do it for you. Glory to God. So we are now in verse 25. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very soul? Well, isn't that obvious? It doesn't profit you to choose your ways or to choose the ways of the world, and everybody applauds you, and then yet your soul is dead. No, 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 no. So you get it, right? Verse 25, the Lord Jesus continues, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Exactly. I love the way the Lord Jesus did this. You must daily cast your cares upon him and die to yourself. And if you choose your ways, it leads to death. If you choose his ways, it leads to life. But then if you deny him, that's really in context, that's what it is. Because when people choose their ways of doing things, when people choose the ways of the world, it's because they are ashamed of the ways of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on. Isn't that sad? Mm-hmm. When people choose to live and to make decisions based on the ways of the crowd, they are people pleasers, and that is a trap. Then it means that you are ashamed of the ways of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus Christ is saying that if you are ashamed of my ways of doing things, if you are ashamed to make me your Lord and to submit to my teachings, if you are ashamed, if you are a people pleaser, guess what? If you are denying me in public, then I will also deny you in front of my Father in heaven and in front of the holy angels. So let me ask you, are you afraid of Jesus Christ when you are out in the crowd? Or are you one of those Christians that you are holier than thou when you go to church or on Sundays, but then when you go to the workplace, you are ashamed to mention Jesus Christ when you have the opportunity? Well, friend, you don't need to be ashamed. You have the Holy Spirit in you to embolden you to share Christ with others at the right opportunity. Okay? Because it will be the Holy Spirit doing it in and through you. And obviously, most importantly, just live the lifestyle. Just share the love of Christ with others. Don't get into strife at the workplace. Don't get into gossip. Don't get into bad mouthing others, and just show confidence the way you handle crisis, and people will take notice and they will come to you and ask you where the source of your strength is. Then that would be an opportunity for you to share Christ with them. So don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ, because if you are, it means that you don't have confidence in who Jesus Christ is. And you can change all that today, and you do that by just asking the Holy Spirit to embolden you, knowing that it is God, the Holy Spirit, doing it in and through you. Okay, so verse 27, truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Many Bible scholars say that what Jesus is referring to in this statement is referring to a couple of things in context here. The Lord Jesus is saying that some of them won't see death, referring to the three that he would take in the event of the transfiguration, which is the upcoming verses here, that they won't see death before they see the kingdom of God. Number one, the Lord Jesus was referring to the upcoming transfiguration that James, Peter, and John were to witness. They would witness the Shekinah glory of God before they die, and also that the disciples, some of them, would be eyewitness to the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. And number three, the disciples will partake, or they will witness the evidence of the formation of the church on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended upon the church. So Bible scholars say that, and I agree totally, that when the Lord Jesus made this statement here that some of them won't see death before they see the kingdom of God, it pertains to those three things, because at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, the kingdom of God is in us and lives in us. Glory to God. So that is what that statement is referring to. So we go straight away to the next upcoming verses, which is the Transfiguration. About 8 days after Jesus said this, 8 days after the Lord Jesus had said all those things to his disciples, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. Verse 29, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Essentially, he truly revealed his glory as God in front of those three disciples. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. And our Bible scholars teach that, which I am in agreement, that the Moses here in this transfiguration represents the Old Testament law, and Elijah represents the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ represents the new covenant. So these disciples were experiencing the Shekinah glory of God. They saw the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory. And these two men, Moses and Elijah, had appeared. Let's find out what happened. We are now in verse 31. They spoke about his departure. So this is Moses and Elijah having this discussion with the Lord Jesus about his impending death and resurrection. So they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Verse 32, Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. Awesome. So Peter experienced firsthand the Shekinah glory of God, who revealed in Jesus Christ as God 100% and man 100%. They were just blessed to experience that. Verse 33, as the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to them, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. Obviously, the apostle Peter just spoke impulsively, had no clue what he was saying. He had just experienced the Shekinah glory of God. I bet you that that environment was filled with the awe and the peace and the joy of God. He was just enjoying it so much, he wanted to just park right there and stay right there. The Lord Jesus wouldn't have it. Likewise, friend, when we experience the Shekinah glory of God in our lives, in the here and now, when we experience the peace, the joy, the hope of God, and the thrill of being in God's presence, God wants us to share that with others. That is the application here, okay? We are not to just sit there and just enjoy it for ourselves. When God blesses us with the opportunity to experience something in this life, it is for our own blessing and then to share with others. We always want to share with others the goodness of God so others can see the goodness of the God we serve and hence attract them to our God. Okay, so we move to verse 34. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Exactly. I had already explained that the Shekinah glory of God manifested in that place. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." This is the voice of God, the Father now speaking, affirming the Lord Jesus Christ as his one and only begotten son, as the Messiah. This is awesome that Peter, James, and John were blessed to witness this transfiguration and hear this audible voice of God. Boy, I bet you that painted such a picture in their hearts that they would never forget. Verse 36, when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. Exactly. I bet you they were still trying to figure this whole thing out. But obviously, as the apostle Peter matured in his walk with the Lord, he told us in 2 Peter 1:16 that he was an eyewitness to this event and he heard the audible voice of God confirming and affirming Jesus Christ as the only Messiah. Awesome. So let us end today's session right here. So what is the key principle and application from these verses? There is just one I want to talk about. That is the absolute truth that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. I discussed some of this already. Friend, I want to give you the opportunity to invite Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. If you have not done so, or if you are doubting, Jesus Christ is God, was God in the flesh. Jesus Christ was and is, because he is still real. Jesus Christ is the only human being in the history of the world who experienced this supernatural conception by God the Holy Spirit and bypassed that sinful seed from Adam. He is the only one who had this supernatural experience. So Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is just one Messiah, the man Jesus Christ. He claimed to be God and he backed it up 100% with eyewitness, verifiable evidence. I've been going through some of these, healed the sick, raised the dead. As I mentioned earlier, you have to come to a firm conviction in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Messiah. He died on Calvary's cross because he loves you. John 3:16. He loves you. He died for your sins. But he says that you have to believe in him as God 100% and man 100%. 1 John 2:2, he died for the sins of the entire world. But it is for whosoever will believe, and that is you. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as God 100%, man 100%? Because there is only one name given unto salvation. Okay, there is just one name that has been given to us that we must accept salvation, and that's the man Jesus Christ. That is Acts 4:12. That teaches that there is only one name given unto mankind by which salvation must come, the man Jesus Christ. I'm just paraphrasing. So it's just Jesus Christ because he is the Messiah. So whatever your beliefs are about Jesus Christ, please settle that today. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. No one can have a relationship with the only one and only living God except through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is it. And the Bible teaches us that to have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ is as simple as you just believing in these things I'm saying. Believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your God, your Messiah, your Savior, and just ask him by faith to come into your heart, and he will accept that. So Romans 10:9 teaches that if you believe in Jesus Christ as God, as your Messiah, and you confess that he died and on the third day he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. So do you believe in these things I'm saying? If yes, just repeat a simple prayer after me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my personal sins. Today I believe in my heart and I am declaring with my mouth that Jesus Christ is God. He is my Messiah. He died on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead and he is alive. Dear Jesus, come into my heart and change me. By faith, I believe you've accepted me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. And friend, if you said that genuinely, based on the authority and power in God's holy scripture, I declare you a Christian and you have been instantly sealed by God the Holy Spirit. So friend, contact me. Just check the description box right here in this Podbean. Send me an email and we want to send you a free book that will help you grow into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I just want to, this is coming to heart. If you've been listening to me and you've not made Jesus Christ your Lord, even though you claim that he is your Lord and Savior, but you've been living your way, doing your own things, you can rededicate your life to Jesus Christ right now so you can choose his way and not your way. Are you ready? Do you want to do this? Just recommit your life to Jesus Christ right now. Just say, dear God, forgive me for choosing my way and not your way. Today, I am reaffirming, I am rededicating my life to Jesus Christ. I choose you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, help me to live in accordance to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, thank you. I ask you, Father God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to enable me to live in accordance with the truths in your word. Help me, Holy Spirit, to obey God. Help me, Holy Spirit, to live in as a Christian, help me, Holy Spirit, to look upon Jesus as my Lord, as I follow him daily. Help me, Holy Spirit, to die to my old self, to die to my old ways. I choose the ways of God. Help me, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you also said that prayer, contact me so I could also send you a book. Friend, I hope you've been blessed by today's teachings. And I'd really ask that you check the description box and get that book, Who is the Real Jesus? Answers to 25 questions about the real Jesus. It will transform your life, give you a deeper revelation about the ministry and the person and the work of Jesus Christ in your life. Thank you in advance for your donation into this ministry. So let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all of the listeners. I just thank you for all those who have accepted Jesus Christ for the first time and for all those who have rededicated their life to Jesus Christ. I thank you for your power that is resting upon them, enabling them to live this life and look upon Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of their faith. We just thank you for your love us. We thank you for your grace upon our lives today. We thank you for the God that you lead and guide us unto all truths. We thank you for your divine protection and guidance. Thank you for the God. And I have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody who agrees says, Amen. God loves you.
So as you proceed with your day today, remember that God is with you, always, enabling you to overcome in Jesus' name. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed and bye for now.